I want just for a few minutes, and it will just be for a very few minutes. We read from the words of the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I like to read biographies, and as you know, I like to use stories and illustrations in the messages, and we do that even in the messages that are found in the paper. The little paper pulpit itself is in the main made up of messages that were a story told and then an application brought at the end. We believe that that's the way the Saviour taught and preached when he was here on earth. He told stories that we describe as parables, and by those stories he caught the attention of the people. He spoke to them about everyday things, things that they knew, and things that they could understand. And whenever he told the stories, he drew from them great gospel or great spiritual truth. And it's good to follow, even in our ministries, the pattern set to us by the Saviour. There's a story that I heard many years ago that came across my path, again, just in the last 10 days or fortnight. And as I thought about the service tonight, I felt it would be an appropriate story just to tell you at the close of this meeting. It is to do with Ara Sankey, Mr. Moody, the great evangelist, so mightily used. He had a song leader. Many of those evangelists had song leaders that labored with them. What a gifted musician Ara Sankey was. He was the man that took the little poem, the 99. He had heard Mr. Moody speak on the Good Shepherd giving his life for the sheep. At the close of the meeting, Moody turned to him and asked him to sing an appropriate solo message and song to bring the gathering to a close. And what Ara Sankey did was he took the little poem, he had just torn it out of the newspaper, and he set it down on the little organ. It was a little organ that he took with him on all his journeys. He set it down on the organ before him, and he actually made up the tune as he went along. It wasn't just a case that he set something down that he knew that was unpracticed. There was no tune. Nobody had ever sang the words before. It was written as a poem, the 99, and he sat down. And the great fear that he had when he finished the first verse, because he had just made up the tune as he had played it, he wondered would it come out exactly the same for the second verse, and it did. And what an impact. And it became one of the most famous solos in the history of evangelism, and even in the life of Mr. Sankey himself. Ara Sankey was on a riverboat on Christmas Eve in 1872. There was a great crowd of people on the riverboat. In many ways, they were glad to be there, because they'd gotten away from all the revelry of the world. They were alone together, sailing up the Delaware River. And it became known by the people that Moody, or that Mr. Sankey rather, was on the boat. And a message was carried to him that he would come up on deck and he would sing for them, sing a solo. And he consented to do that. He agreed. He came and he stood beside the great funnel of the vessel, and he bowed his head in prayer. Just for a moment he paused and asked the Lord to lead him and to guide him. There's not a doubt that he and Moody both were men that walked with God, in touch with the Lord. He asked the Lord to guide him just in the message that he would bring. In his own heart he wanted to sing a message in keeping with the season, Christmas Eve. All these people gathered round, eagerly awaiting this solo. They will want to hear a Christmas carol or a hymn with a Christmas theme. But the one that came upon his heart was one about the shepherd. It's in our own book, "Saviour, like a shepherd lead us, much we need thy tender care." It's a lovely hymn. And that was the one that the Lord laid on his heart that night. And that's the one that he sang, Christmas Eve and all that it was. He sang it with a great anointing of God resting upon him. What followed, what happened afterwards, was remarkable, to say the least. There was a man on board that ship standing in the midst of that crowd of people, a man that was a little rugged, a little rough in his appearance, and he pushed his way to the front. And before the crowd, the assembled throng of people, he asked Mr. Moody, or Mr. Sankey, he asked Mr. Sankey the question, did he ever serve in the Union Army? And he said that he did. And then the man asked him, he asked Sankey, can you tell me where you were? And he mentioned a February day in the year 1862, during the Civil War in the United States. And Sankey was able to tell him exactly where he was that night. The man said, Mr. Sankey, let me tell you what happened that night in 1862. He said, I was in the very same place as you were. The only thing was, I was your enemy. I was in the army of the Confederacy. I saw you that night. It was a clear night, a clear moonlit night. I could see you clearly without any difficulty whatsoever. I could see you marching up and down with your rifle on your shoulder on sentry duty, guarding the post that you had been assigned to. And he said, I thought in my heart that that Union soldier will not breathe another moment. He will not leave that post alive. That before I depart from this place, I will take his life. And he said, I lifted my musket and I pointed it at you. I had you in my sights and my finger on the trigger. And as I was about to squeeze the trigger to take your life and blow you out into eternity, he said, I heard you begin to sing. And you began to sing the words of that very same hymn that you have sung tonight. Saviour, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. He said, I remembered my home. I was brought up in a Christian home. And I remembered my dear mother. I remembered the truths that she taught me. And I remembered my mother's voice when I was just a lad, as she went around our home, taking care of the duties and the chores and the responsibilities of the home. And I can picture, and I could still hear, he said that night, the voice of my own dear mother, died young. He said, if she had lived longer, maybe my life would have turned out a little different, the godly influence that she was upon me. But he said, I could still hear the voice of my dear sweet mother as she sang that lovely hymn as well. And I thought to myself, my finger still on the trigger. I cannot shoot the man. I cannot take the life of the man who's singing a gospel hymn that my mother taught to me when I was a child. And he said, I put down the rifle, took my finger from the trigger, and I dropped my weapon. And as you sang on and sang every verse of that hymn, he said, I could not describe to you the thoughts that went through my mind, the truths that I remembered, the messages that came to my heart, the texts of scripture that I had been taught and that I had memorized as a child. Oh, he said, Mr. Moody, or Mr. Sankey, I'll get it right yet. He said, Mr. Sankey, the singing of that gospel hymn that night, in the providence of God, it saved your life. Only for the fact that you sang the verses of that hymn when you did, he said, I would have pulled the trigger and taken your life. And he said, from that night to this, and remember, 10 years had passed. He said, from that night to this, I have never met you. I would have longed to have met you. I would have longed to have spoken to you. He said, God began to deal with me. He said, I thought about the God of heaven. What a mighty God he must have been. What mighty things he's able to do. If he said he could intervene in such a way display his power, and save your life. He said, I began to think very seriously. We heard a little about that in the testimony tonight, how through events and circumstances God can speak to men. But he said, I didn't know what to do. I did not know how to come to Christ. I did not know how to be converted. But he said, when I heard you sing again tonight, I said, I'm sure in my heart. I'm as sure as ever I've been sure. That's the very same voice. That's the very same man that I heard sing as he performed sentry duty those 10, almost 11 years ago. And you know what happened, men and women? He asked Sankey that night to tell him and to show him how to be saved. What a Christmas it was. What a difference it made. You can imagine the impact that it had upon all that were gathered. They kneeled down together just on the deck of that old riverboat. And it was there in that very place that that dear man, that old Confederate soldier, remember two men that were enemies, now kneeling together in prayer, and one helping the other to the cross, one helping the other to find Christ as his Saviour. You know, there's a verse in that hymn that says, Thou hast promised to receive us, poor and sinful though we be. Thou hast mercy to relieve us, blood to cleanse, and power to free. And I want to emphasize those words to you tonight, men and women. Thou hast promised to receive us. Him that cometh unto me. Will you come to Christ? I want to make an appeal, an invitation. I want to urge you, men and women, the end of our meeting, the final meeting, gospel meeting of this year, and how many meetings you have sat through and God has spoken to you. I want to encourage you, you come to Christ. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Poor and sinful though we be, it doesn't matter how you've lived. It doesn't matter how deep and dark your past and your sins may be. The Bible says that where sin abounds, maybe that's been true of you. Well, remember, grace doth much more abound. His grace is greater than all of your sins. And there's blood to cleanse, my friend. And there's power to free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. He can set you free from the bondage of your sin. And his blood, we sing it, there's power in the blood. Oh, that the Lord will impress that in your heart tonight. The great power in the blood of Christ. Whatever your sin might have been, however deep the stain may be, his blood has power to wash and to cleanse from that stain. And what a change could be wrought in your life. We heard that in the testimony. A changed life. No longer a desire for the nightclubs. No longer a longing and a thirst for the drink. No longer a hunger to run after worldly establishments and worldly pleasure, but a desire for the Bible and a desire for church, a desire for the meetings and a desire for the house of God. And the reality is, men and women, he can do that for you tonight as well. In the story of the wise men, we considered it a couple of Sunday nights ago, the real story of the wise men. I commend that message to you in the recordings as well. But remember what it says about the wise men. They went home another way. They went home different, a different route, on a different road, on a different path. And men and women, that can be your experience tonight as well. You come into the meeting still a sinner, still out of Christ, still on the broad road, still running after the things of this world. Peter talked about those that ran to the same excess of riot. And Richard told us a little of his past, and maybe you run to the same excess of riot, the same wild living. Remember what it talks about the prodigal son. He wasted his substance in riotous living. Maybe that's the only way your life could be described. Well, here, listen. You can go home tonight a different way. You can go home on a different road, the narrow road that leadeth on to life, the road that takes you to home and to heaven. You can go from this meeting tonight a child of God, with your sins forgiven, cleansed in the Redeemer's blood, changed by the power of Christ, by the power of his Holy Spirit, a new nature within you, and the Holy Ghost dwelling within you. You can go home another way. And men and women, that is our prayer, that might be so for you. You think of those words, the Lord is my shepherd. Is he yours tonight? We've heard of Richard tell how he's his shepherd, how he knows him, and so many in the meeting too, friends maybe that brought you, can say he's my shepherd too. Can you say that? Well, if you can, the hymn says, like a shepherd lead us. And that's what he'll do for you through 2015, whatever it brings. He'll lead you. The Lord is my shepherd. He's the one that'll watch over you. And he'll guide you too, men and women. He'll guide you every step of the way. I pray the Lord will bless his word to your heart, the message. The story, men and women, that I have told you, that hymn saved Mr. Moody, or Mr. Sankey, saved Mr. Sankey from death. The telling of that story tonight, it may not save you from death, but I pray something even more, men and women, that it might save you from eternal death, from a lost eternity. But the Lord might use it just to speak to your hearts and to bring you this night to the Saviour. We're going to sing 246 as we close the gathering. Time is earnest passing by. How appropriate it is, another year almost over, another year of your life almost gone. You're another year nearer the end of your life, another year nearer eternity. And for some of you, still not right with God, still not able to say it's well with your soul. Time is earnest passing by, death is earnest drawing nigh. Sinner, wilt thou trifling be? Time and death appeal to thee. 246.